All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, we are here in my house in the bathroom, and I have a curling iron plugged in.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I always wondered how you got those luxurious curls.
Well, those come naturally. I don't really do anything.
This curling iron speaks differently to that.
No.
Like, you no longer have to keep up the artifice.
This is not my curling iron. This is, I got this from my mom. There's a story mm-hmm. about me. I have, just in case people need to identify my body, or if mm-hmm. we get into the world's end situation. And I am replaced by a doppelganger who lacks my scars and such. There is a distinct scar on my left wrist. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It is kind of like a raised area of burn tissue that is usually covered by a watch band, but it kind of looks like a little Superman symbol almost. Okay. This is the result of when I was like a kid, like one or two. I was in my mom's bathroom when she was getting ready for work. She had her curling iron plugged in, and being a dipshit little kid, reached, grabbed the cord for the curling iron. It fell and just, and then nothing else just hit and fell. And on my tiny little baby wrist, this incredibly hot curling iron, fucked me up pretty bad, actually. Mm-hmm. And they tried putting like different ointments and stuff on it, but it only made it worse. The scar used to be bigger relative to my hand, but now I'm a big boy. And, yeah, I've always wondered, just what other kind of scarification could we do?
All kinds of scarifications.
Listening to stuff with that Nexium
scar tissue about that. It makes you
sarcastic enough to know it. Oh, yeah.
I'm so the key to send the end of my sentence to go.
But yeah, I've got this little Superman scar, an actual thing on my wrist, and I figure we might as well do something else. So I've got this I've got this curling iron, and we're just gonna slam this bad boy down, and we're gonna see what comes out.
Yeah, and then afterwards I'm gonna use it to de-straighten my pubic hair. I have a Prince Valiant downstairs, and I would like to get rid of the Dutch boy and make him a Dutch man.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just gonna hold this here. Ow. Ow.
Yeah.
Oh boy, Gary, I'm on fire. Hurts. Oh boy.
Oh geez.
Oh, it's spreading.
Is there any
I shouldn't have. Water, I yeah. should not. No. Yeah. No. I have not paid the bill. I probably shouldn't have covered myself in cologne.
The toilet.
I knew you were coming over here. The toilet is full of light bulbs. That's where I keep them now.
How about the back of the toilet?
Back of the toilet is full of LED light bulbs. I'm going green, Gary. I am a ridiculous. I'm on fire. Oh boy.
Yeah. You're immolated.
Now I'm dead. Okay, oh boy.
I'm gonna go.
I'm a fucking ghost now. Gary, I'm a fucking ghost.
Hey, stop haunting me.
No.
Hey, Will. Will, do you want to do? Hey, listen. No, hold on. Yeah, Cole died. Do you want to join Abject Suffering? I got to keep this gravy train running. Okay,
no. Cool. I will haunt you when you sleep. Will, I will kill him in his dreams.
We're not going to sleep here, dude. Like, come on, ghost.
I'm trying to do like a Freddy Krueger so thing, okay?
I know.
Oh, okay. Like Nightmare on Elm Street. Beep boop, beep boop, beep boop. Yeah, there we go. Okay, I'm alive again. I have a body now.
Oh, cool. You animated your toilet. Butterfield.
I'm a talking toilet with the spirit of Cole.
And this is After Suffering. We deserve this, and so do you.
Very appropriate for this right here. We're talking about this is a premium episode about the Nightmare on Elm Street game for the NES. I'm just gonna be bold here, gonna be brave, gonna step out here on Front Street. This is not a bad game.
I think it's a good game.
It's a good game.
Yeah, I like this game. I liked it when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I like it now.
It's my first time playing it. But yeah, like LJN not universally, they didn't universally make great things, but like it feels like they made good adaptations between this and the Friday the 13th game, actually.
Well, this is published. This is developed by Rare.
Oh shit.
So this is actually, you know, ends up being one of my favorite Rare games.
Okay.
Weirdly enough.
Huh. I probably should have found that detail. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed. and it has big Rare energy, like the kind of perspective and walk cycle is straight out of the Time Lord.
Oh shit, you're right.
You know, loop.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. But like,
yeah, this is Frederick Krugen, and you you go and you collect his bones,
mm-hmm. which are just femurs. They're just dog bones laid around.
Yep, he's entirely a femur. He's like a big mm-hmm. snake.
Yeah,
which he is. And then you can turn into various dream warriors
mm-hmm.
while you do it, while hunting down his bones.
Yeah. And you have a sleep meter. Like if you stand still for too long, then you, drains down and you go into a nightmare version of the world where the enemies get a little bit tougher, but you get the ability to like one character can throw javelins and stuff. There's, you know, little dream mm-hmm. warrior mutations like from the movies, and you have to find a boom box to come back into the real world.
Just like in, just like the real life.
Yeah.
If you stay still too long,
mm-hmm.
no good. You can turn into a necromancer.
Yeah.
You can become the shadow warrior or the acrobat. Those are the three dream warriors you can turn into.
Yeah.
All referencing Nightmare on Elm Street 3, the coolest Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well, it had a docking song, opinion. Gary.
Yeah, it's like, and I'm docking this game a couple points for not following it more closely.
If this fan's if this fan's a rock, and I'm doing coke to docking.
Yep.
That's an
I love
joke.
The idea of a dream warrior.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get to turn into a cool X-Man when you go to sleep.
It's kind of the perfect idea for a thing.
Yep.
And I'll come out here and say this, of like the big slasher villains and even like the slasher movies and stuff, Nightmare on Elm Street, the most fun of them, right?
He's pretty fun. Like, yeah. He's got a personality unlike Jason.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like the Friday the 13th movies just fine.
Right.
I like the Halloween movies just fine, but mm-hmm. I'm also the big defender of Season of the Witch mm-hmm. Halloween, because it doesn't have Jason and instead has an evil mask salesman. like, I wanted there to be more personality.
Yes.
To these things. Just having a silent, relentless killer is not as fun to me mm-hmm. as having a wisecracking cryptkeeper.
Just an
victim.
An extremely campy villain who is capable of understanding irony and therefore implements it brutally.
Who keeps up with pop culture as well.
Yeah.
Like when Freddy is not hunting teens, like he is scouring Reddit.
Oh yeah.
For like what the teens are into.
He's got
like,
to keep his finger on the pulse as it dwindles. Right.
Yeah. Like this feels like, I'm surprised they're not a series of Nightmare on Elm Street TikToks. Like it feels like he's so with it.
Yeah.
You know, it being, you know, 80s kids.
Yes. Robert Englund is still alive. He's old as shit, but let's get him back in here. Oh boy. Let's see here. Has he had a stroke? Yeah. Has he had a stroke? No. As of 2020, he hosts a travel channel show, True Terror with Robert Englund, which showcases scary but true stories about the supernatural or strange. You know what that sounds like to me?
Badass.
A good television show.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a fun looking man.
He is.
Taking a look at him here. He doesn't look very much like Freddy Krueger when he doesn't have the makeup on.
Right.
It feels like they could have really had almost any actor become Freddy Krueger.
A little bit. You know, I think that his charisma brings a lot to the old Krugs.
Can I blow your mind?
Yes, you may. Wait, let me get, hold on a second. Let me get ready.
Yeah, hold on right. to your socks because I'm going to knock them off.
All right.
One sentence. Tim Curry is Freddy Krueger.
Oh right? boy!
Can you imagine how fun that would have been?
That like so that is a certain that is different. Yeah, I can't imagine Freddy Krueger being British is the thing.
Robert Englund's not British.
No, he's from England. I was about to say I'm not from Ross. My family originally hails from that region of Scotland, somewhere back. But no, Robert Englund.
He went to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art. Tell me, this dude is not.
He was born in British. Glendale, California, dude.
I think this guy has big British energy.
Okay, all right,
yeah. England and Gothenburg, Sweden, March 2005. Case closed.
No American has ever gone to Sweden. They don't let you in. They stop you.
In there's the 2014 Fan Expo, Canada.
There is a force field at the border, and Americans can't go. So yeah.
Well, that's literally true. It's
because we're plague. Yeah.
Like it's because we'll kill them. We'll super spread. You know? Actually, now I take back my wanting there to be modern Freddy, because now it'd all be about COVID and Trump and shit. I don't want to see him pop up as Trump and be like, grab you by the soul, or some shit.
Kick you into a furnace and say, you're fired.
Yeah, I cannot. No. Yeah, it actually just made myself like feel sick.
Yeah. The fact that we just wrote that because it would be that easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can't. That's the thing is, like, Trump loses this election. We're still going to see him in shitty parodies and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like, these people are not going to let go of their gravy train.
No. It is. He is forever. He always has been a stain on our culture, but, will stick around as an object of, for lack of a better word, let's say fun. In a way that will be fucking exhausting, because it'll be the easiest fucking thing to do, and completely uninspired, and will have a weird effect of like whitewashing his legacy, because if we just make jokes about him, we forget all the dead people. So
yeah, eventually it's not like Saturday Night Live is going to give up their ability to say covfefe and then have like Facebook wine moms talk about how it's an epic dunk.
They would still be making Monica Lewinsky jokes if they could.
Yeah. How long before Kate McKinnon dresses up as Trump to sing Hallelujah after he loses?
She's a CIA op, right? Like, she's totally a plant. What's his name? John Krasinski is.
Yeah.
Krasinski. Yeah. Like, it's very clear that he has been like placed by the intelligence community. Kate McKinnon is totally, she's a psyop on us, right?
It's fucking weird. Yeah. Ghostbusters Answer the Call was her way in. Just like Beetlejuice, we can't banish her anymore. We took Beetlejuice out of his cage and didn't put him back.
Nope. man.
Beetlejuice and Freddy have a lot in common.
They do. They're both good movies.
They're both horny.
Uh-huh.
Like Freddy Krueger, like reached up in the bathtub, right in front of that girl's snatch,
mm-hmm.
And he's not as explicit. But they're both interested in underage girls.
Yep,
like they would meet at the same bar or the same support group or jail.
They would. I mean, like Freddy Krueger is canonically a pedophile. Like that's why the parents got together and killed him.
I really think that together they'd have a lot to talk about. You know. Yeah.
Like what strategies? Fucking dark, dude.
Well, just like that, I think they would understand each other. Like they're both supernatural demons.
They would speak the same language.
Yeah, like it'd probably feel really good for them, you know.
To understand that they're not alone.
Yeah, they meet up on a Reddit, a libertarian message board or something.
Star Trek fan board.
Yeah, shop for car seats for their girlfriends, and you know.
That's a reference to a joke. That's not you being originally horrible. No. That's a reference to a very good tweet.
Libertarians.
Yes. Well, yes.
Because they're probably both, like, I can't imagine either of them not being libertarians.
Yeah.
I'm feeling Ayn Randy.
Ooh, check out my fountainhead. Yeah.
Atlas slugged, and then there's like a slug or something.
Right. I could see Beetlejuice specifically being real libertarian-y, because he's a scofflaw. He's gonna get around you.
He really cares about personal liberty more than he cares about doing good.
Yes, but it's a very specific definition of personal liberty. Like, it is personal liberty specifically at the cost of other people. He does not understand that we need society is the thing.
Yeah. Well, he lives in that model town.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his own little, those guys hanging out.
Mm-hmm. I think it would go a little something.
Like this Teespring insufferable shirt. I just conjured into existence. Just both of them hanging out 500 yards from a school.
Yeah.
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 So this game, did you read the pitch for the original version of this?
I did.
That's
I can't decide.
Real cool.
Yeah, I was about to say I can't decide if it's good, but you said it's cool, so I'll go with that. There's a possibility that would not be cool. that they could botch it. It seems I like the idea of doing like a more straight adaptation where you're playing as the kids, trying to get them together. But like the idea that they turn into the Dream Warriors is neat to you.
Yeah. That they would, and you would be doing like traps against them. Mm-hmm. Like you travel along Elm Street through electrical and plumbing lines, or step into a mirror and step into another room to haunt these kids. Kind of like a haunting starring Poltergeist kind of sitch.
Yeah. It sounds a little too ambitious for the NES, actually.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like similar to the Friday the 13th game, mm-hmm. which is a little too ambitious for the, you know, the NES.
Yeah.
This is more just, this is a platformer where you fight spiders and flies.
Yeah.
Like mostly.
Yes. Like
you spend most of your time punching flies in this.
Yeah. Unless you're in the nightmare world, in which case they're ghosts now. And the spiders are skull spiders. Yes.
Yeah. And then you fight a version of Freddy as a snake.
Right.
At the end of the levels.
There's another Nightmare on Elm Street game called Freddy's Nightmares. Or no, that's the... Sorry, I found it on Moby Games. Here it is. What is it? Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, it's just called Nightmare on Elm Street. But it's for DOS. Mm-hmm. It's available for DOS and Commodore 64, which sounds cool to me. Like, if you look at it, it's like a top-down. Like a top-down action RPG kind of thing.
That does sound cool.
Yeah. But it is not the you play as Freddy thing. They make a good point about this too, actually, saying that years earlier the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game on Atari 2600 was controversial, even though like only like four copies of it were ever made and distributed with like hand lettered stickers and stuff. Like it wasn't actually that big of a
though.
Yeah, it was an extremely controversial four hand lettered cartridges.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like this note card I wrote the word pussy on is extremely controversial that I keep inside my desk drawer.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
singular.
It's like when I was like 13 and I wanted to see nudity, so I drew a naked lady. It'd be like but then meet them me being taken to The Hague to be charged for obscenity. You pornographer.
I wonder, looking at the Versus Wiki, I wonder if we could figure out who would win between him and Beetlejuice if they decided no longer had as much in common.
They if they both decided they like the same girl, like if
one of them grew out of it
and started hunting the other.
Yeah, like one of them was like, you know what, I'm like Dexter.
Oh,
like I hunt, you know,
I am a supernatural pedophile who hunts supernatural pedophiles.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like that's Beetlejuice's new steez or Freddy's new steez.
Okay.
I think that Freddy was more committed. You know, Beetlejuice definitely perved on Lydia, but then they became friends during the cartoon.
Yes.
I feel like Beetlejuice could reform with the help of Lydia Deetz and become this Dexter character.
Yes. Lydia was definitely a good, I mean, and
super
the cartoon.
Good influence.
Super good influence. Yeah. Like the movie, coming to the movie of that, having primarily just watched the cartoon, it was very weird to see them not getting along.
Yeah. They were not friends. I watched that movie again on Halloween and I love it.
I saw your tweets about it and it made me really feel like watching, that. How good.
It's just really good.
Those musical scenes.
Oh man, they're really good. It introduced an entire generation to like Harry Belafonte, it's really fun. Mm-hmm. It's like a very fun imaginative movie.
Yeah. You have Catherine Harris and that actual monster that she acted alongside.
she is by far the worst character in that movie in terms of like she's really well observed and she has great fashion. Mm-hmm. She is so obnoxious.
Yes.
Like I was thinking about how like in Beetlejuice, when you're a kid and you see it, you're in love with Lydia Deetz. Mm-hmm. And then you grow up and you're in love with Gina Davis.
Yes.
Like it just, you as an adult, you're just like, she's so fucking charming.
Yeah.
She's like a good version of Julia Roberts. God, she's charming.
Yeah.
No, I want to have this life. Like I want to live in this rural Vermont town and make models with her.
Mm-hmm. That'd be
weird
great.
Lifestyle porn.
Yeah. Gosh,
the whole idea of dying and having their life seemed really good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was watching it, I was like, this seems really good.
Yeah.
125 like, years, like working on your models and catching up on reading.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
You know?
Perfect.
You know, you can rip off your face.
Like, oh, I can't go outside. If I open up the door, it's nothing but so. Oh, okay. Scary. Ooh, twist my leg. Don't punish me with a good time. I guess I'll just lay in bed and read.
I guess I'll just, you know, you could just bribe the Dietzes to get you comics and stuff, video games, because they can touch things. Like, they don't have any of the weaknesses of Ghost by the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, and they just like, and you don't have to go outside.
Nope.
It'd be incredible.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not just you don't have to, you can't. If somebody tried to make you feel bad for it, you would just say, sorry, dog. It's literally out of my control. I do not have the power to do this.
Yeah. And then like COVID happens and you're laughing.
Ooh, I'm like, prepared
everyone
for
else
this.
Is like, oh yeah, I can't go out to the bar. Oh. And I'm like, yeah, fuck your bar, dude.
Yeah.
Like, how about you stay here? You don't have to eat or sleep unless you want to. And also you get to put your eyeballs in your fingers. And now you have 10 eyes.
Yes.
If you want them.
You can be a monster if you want. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah. So I don't know, man. It seems like a really sweet gig to me, even though they go into a lot of trouble in that movie to make it sound like it's bad. To try to talk Lydia out of it, but nothing about it seems bad.
It feels like
them just having a blast.
It feels like they're lying to the kid in order to like get her to
not
experience
teen suicide.
In order to get her to experience more life before she settles down. I feel like
it is really like a settling down moment when you turn into Beetlejuice Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so way more appealing to me than heaven or hell.
Yeah.
You know, especially one of them. But like, it was just like watching it. I was just like, this seems legit.
Yeah.
And then you just had to worry about Beetlejuice every once in a while or Freddy is in this cosmology.
Yes.
And that would be scary. I would not want to live in the Beetlejuice house and be haunted by Freddy Krueger.
Well, especially if you couldn't get out of there, at which point it makes a lot of sense to want to get out of that house. But
yeah.
I don't know that, you know, it's been a while since I've seen, I don't even think I've seen more than the first three Freddy movies, but I don't know that Freddy can haunt a ghost.
That's really interesting. I think he makes people into ghosts.
Right.
You know, and then what happens though? Like there's not really much of an afterlife to speak of in the Freddy universe as far as I know.
No, I mean, and he's only present because of the horrible circumstances of his death. And I think the Necronomicon is involved at some point, there is not like a bunch of codified rules with him, that all dead people go through, like with the the Beetlejuice folks.
Yeah. It's interesting. What was I going to say about him dying? Oh, there's a weird, like kind of gross, nature argument to Freddy where he became a gross child molester who got murdered and became that because he was the son of a thousand maniacs.
Yeah.
Do you remember that part of it?
Yeah. That feels like it's a way to, it feels like myth making about him more than anything.
Yeah.
It's like something people said after he died and became a monster.
Yeah. I don't think that you need to give him an excuse.
Yeah.
Like it's real weird. That's just like, oh, it's just because his dad's sperm was bad that he turned into.
Yeah.
A child molesting demon.
You want to put at least a little bit of responsibility onto somebody who does what he did, even as a school janitor, you know?
And it's us saying that. Like, we're the people that peep off the hook for stuff. Like, I'm generally empathetic.
Yeah.
But I think that, I don't generally truck with personal responsibility as a be-all, end-all.
Right.
Argument under.
It's a factor, the choices that you make need to be, considered.
Addressed in this point, especially since he's so unrepentant.
Yes.
You know, he never, like, learns or is like, you know what? It's not, it's these parents. It's their fault that I got pushed into a furnace.
Right.
It's not the kid's fault, though. Come on, man.
Yeah. It's a...
quit being horny on Elm Street.
Well, and he doesn't get less sexual after he dies. It's incredible. No.
His verb set expands greatly.
His verb set. Hey, Gary, do you call your repertoire sexual moves your verb set?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Somebody has adult consenting conversations about sex a lot.
Okay.
I can't think of a better phrase for it.
It's my verb set. Oh, it's like the scum engine. but for pussy. Oh God,
okay, shaman.
No, that's just okay. I wasn't actually making fun of you, but now you're actually making fun of me. All right, okay.
Well, it sounded like you're. It certainly made it sound like you're making fun of me.
No, I thought it was a joke that you were making.
No. Okay. That's a way kind of making fun of, though, assuming okay. that somebody is joking when they're saying okay. something serious. All right, okay. Anyway, everybody write in. If there's something that you say about your sexual repertoire, if there's a good word for, like, the number, the actions that you engage in sex pre-becoming a Freddy.
Pre-becoming a Freddy.
At JG Greer on okay. Twitter. And,
yeah.
And,
yeah. No, his verb set definitely does expand, and he goes beyond just being whatever he was. He's omnisexual as the dream monster, right?
Totally.
You know, everybody talks about how
he's a pansexual freak.
Yeah, everybody talks about the homoerotic subtext of the second one, which is there. It's impossible mm-hmm. not to see. But yeah, no, he like there is definitely like his sexuality as an element of his camp. That I think actually yeah. makes him work as a villain, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fascinating to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real glow up.
you do you, fam. Oh fuck.
Yeah, he's a gross villain. It's funny because somebody's gonna get mad at us
for not taking
it seriously enough.
For not taking molestation seriously enough.
Yeah, and it's like we're talking about Freddy Krueger, man. Like yeah. it just somebody. I was, I added a little miniature, like not rant, but just thing I was thinking about the other day.
Okay.
So like we're a couple days after the election. This has been a very hard election season for me. I'm very stressed out about politics.
And still, as of the time we're recording, we have no idea who is going to be sitting in the White House come February.
It's looking good, but I don't have hope anymore.
There's no reason to think that any good things will happen. And there's still terrible stuff happening down ballot. Like, we really managed to screw the pooch either way. So
yeah, it's really bad.
And that's not like a both sides thing. I want Trump out, but like the House and Senate, we're not in a good position there. Like
what's going to happen is Biden might win and then not be able to do anything. And then he's going to be blamed for not being able to do anything. And then, mm-hmm. But anyway,
President Tom Cotton, 2024. Yeah.
Some horseshit like that.
Yeah.
So it's real bad. And mm-hmm. I've been looking at ways to disconnect myself
yes.
from politics because it is a river through which into me misery flows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I have very little efficacy about.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have direct touch with this every 2 years. You know, I could do more. I could like run for a local office. I can get involved in local politics and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was like, is that energy better used concretely? Like, should I go volunteer at a food kitchen or something? Right.
Right. Right. Is there a more direct action? Is there energy that you can put into helping the people close to you? Right.
Yes. And there is. Like, yes. That's been on my mind a lot lately, mm-hmm. reevaluating my relationship with politics. And that has me reevaluating my relationship with Twitter. And I was just thinking about, like, how shitty it is that, like, no matter what kind of joke or thing you say, someone will always invalidate your premise.
Yeah, yeah.
And the example I had, I was, like, cooking dinner last night, just walking around cooking dinner. And in my head, I was like thinking something I think about a lot are things that are very innocuous, but sound badass. Right.
Yes.
Like I've talked about blood relative, like how that sounds really like, you know, your blood relatives. It sounds mm-hmm. like you have like a brother made of blood or something. I was thinking about this week and the election and how, I have been, a lot of people talk about eating their feelings. And I was just like, that sounds really dark. Like the mm-hmm. feeling eater,
yeah.
you know, like I'm eating my feelings. And then I was like, I wonder if I can make a tweet about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my mind, I fully conjured someone being like me saying, you know, it doesn't sound more badass than it is. And someone would immediately be like, actually, I think it's pretty badass that I can eat some cookies and feel better about myself. Like immediately somebody would just reject the premise of the joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just be like, no. Like the only way that I know how to interface and plus one this is to say, nah. And they think that they're having fun with you. They think it is a good thing.
Right. Right. And it's like, oh, we're just advancing this. And now this is a conversation where I can engage you, you know, like about this actual thing that I'm feeling. But that's not what that was. That wasn't an invitation. For
exactly.
That. Yeah.
It wasn't an invitation. It's also like, I'm not trying to like just sit down and have a conversation with you about the concept of eating my feelings. Like,
no,
there, you know, there are articles about that. Like there are places where you can read about that. That discussion's happening.
Yeah.
And just to turn this back into this thing is just, and then somebody would be like, you know, would perceive it as an attack on eating feelings and would justify themselves if they do it.
So the way that you cope with stress is better than the way that I cope with stress. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it would just be intolerable. And like, mm-hmm. I have never come around on the like, you know, grand, like just Twitter is bad.
Right.
Thing that people, you know, come around on a lot.
Mostly people who use Twitter say that, who use it too much.
Almost exclusively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost exclusively. I've never gone with that, but it was the closest I've come to just being like, I'm starting to feel pretty like hamstrung in what I can like bring up without just weapons grade annoyance.
It certainly is a place where innocuous things get turned into exhaustion.
Yes.
And you important know, and things, big things get turned into exhaustion too. I'm not saying that Twitter is solely a place where just another way for us to swear off of interpersonal relationships, because interpersonal interactions. Yes. Because this is the same episode where we talked about staying inside. That would be very funny. No, it just a bit where things big and small all take on a kind of universal like weight or structure. You know, like mm-hmm. just the everything starts taking up kind of the same amount of space. What I wish, and I eye this button I eye the button lustfully, which is the mm-hmm. only people who follow you can respond to this. What I want is for enough people, and I could probably make this change happen just by doing it, to just make it de rigueur to use that. Say like, yes, this is just the way that Twitter works. So it's not just, you know, it's not just bigger people like us. And by bigger people, I like 3,000 people follow me. I'm nothing.
No, nobody.
Right.
Yeah. We're nobody nothing. Does. We're literal worms.
Yeah. But it's like in the honor of, you know, I would prefer to use Twitter as a write only medium. And I've lapsed from that, mm-hmm. you know, a lot recently. I spent way too much time on there. But like in honor of that, like I'm going to make this a write only thing, you know, like there are only a couple of people who I know who are going to be additive to this and I'm going to put it there and it'll be fine. There are people who I follow who do that and it looks amazing to me. Like they've got it there and I don't take it personally that they have it because I understand it. I worry that if I did it, it would be a fuck you specifically to the people who support me.
Yeah, like, that, I mean, that's the thing. That's the hard part about this. And that's why, like, as I've hovered on the edge of just deleting it and trying to retire in the offline colonies, I've been regretful because what if that impacts the network? Like, we'd survive. Yeah. I don't feel any pressure from you about that, but I feel pressure from me because I'm interested in maintaining it. I consider maintaining an online presence part of my job.
Yes.
But yeah, just I've thought about doing that. I've also thought about, like, wanting there to be, like, a CAPTCHA that somebody has to do to explain that they understand something as a joke or like are on the same page before replying. Mm-hmm. Because I try not to follow, like, you see those different ratios and there are people where it's like, oh, they follow everyone who follows them.
No.
And I don't want to do that because my timeline is too. So there are people who I regularly interact with who I know who are like fans of the show who I don't follow. And it's not because I don't like them or I don't like those interactions. It's because I don't want my timeline to be incomprehensible.
Yeah.
But so I still want them to be able to theoretically plus one my jokes because sometimes they're very good. Mm-hmm. But I want them to be able to prove that they're not going to feel like pointlessly defensive or not get the concept of it.
Yeah.
You know, so with like eating your feelings, mm-hmm. the idea of eating someone's feelings sounds like some Neverwinter Nights Mask of the Betrayer shit.
It does.
Like, you know, it's a it's a really metal sounding thing that I want to be able to point out the dichotomy without somebody feeling defensive about fucking eating a Big Mac. Mm-hmm. And it's just really frustrating because I'm like the least judgy person in the world about what people eat. Like, I don't give a shit what people eat. That's never been part of my personality. And yet somebody will always alchemize that into being about them.
Twitter, you know, you're the dog and Twitter has kicked you enough that like just imagining, you know, just thinking about this, conjuring up this tulpa of a straw man immediately wraps you around the axle about a notional joke that would just be like a 5-second thing that you fire off.
And it robbed it of all, like this thing that I thought was kind of funny, like is like mm-hmm. not robbed of it. It's this weird, like it's like all the color got drained from it.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's just this like black and white drawing of a conceptual thing that I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole of, other than great concept, you know, content for this show.
Right.
You know, and that's my secret, is I'm always creating content.
Right. Right.
You know,
yeah. But it's like, are you firing it off the second that you think about it, like you would a tweet, or is it, you know, coming here?
Yeah. Do
you
I have to think it? About it to avoid? Yeah. Do I have to think about it a lot in order to avoid?
Yeah.
You know, just again, annoyance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I think about Twitter, and it's like, I have that pathway of annoyance. I have stuff that I try to mute that unsuccessfully gets muted.
Right.
Like I mute games I don't care about and stuff like that. And they just don't work half the mm-hmm. time. And I have no idea why.
Yeah.
And then
maybe because that's a bad website.
It's really bad. Yeah. Like trying to find. So what, basically, this is me saying I'm pivoting to Gab.
So, oh, weird. You picked Gab. I was doing Parler. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I'll meet you there, brother. but like, just, no, it just, it's a really bad website where like I have annoying non-joke understanders.
Uh-huh.
I have people telling me about Yakuza, and I have, like that and I have politics from which, like, you know, I may have to unfollow people like who mm-hmm. I think are really funny, like Bakun and stuff, who post about old horror movies and make jokes, just because they're gonna end up posting some dunk on Lindsey Graham that I don't feel like seeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's a real pickle I got myself in.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Would it be, God, everything that I want to say about like a potential feature makes me sound like an elitist fuck, but really like that is not how I feel. And it's not how I want to come across, because it doesn't reflect how I feel. What I was going to say was like, man, it'd be cool if there was like a way to prioritize the responses from people you follow. Everybody can respond, but like you press a button to see the rest of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of this will sound like subtweeting. The vast majority of the responses that I get are cool and fun. And people like saying, "Aw," about the pictures of the cats that I post. It's all fucking innocuous, but there are those moments.
Yeah. 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 The friction points stand out because they cause friction.
Yes.
You know, of course, like you don't have to sand down the parts that are already smooth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah. Yeah, fucking Freddy, man. Yeah, in when I was a when I lived in the trailer park.
Uh-huh.
So when I was in kindergarten, me and some of my little kid Chucklefuck, not kindergarten. I was like, this would have been like third grade.
Mm-hmm.
We said that we had a band.
Okay.
We didn't know how to play instruments, but we were like, we're going to form a band.
Yeah.
And we had no money. Like our parents were not going to buy us instruments, but we just like were playing, mm-hmm. you know, we were kids and we were going to write songs. And one of the songs that I quote unquote wrote with these kids was called Freddy's Nightmare.
Ooh.
And it was about Freddy Krueger.
Hmm.
And I wish I remembered more, but I do remember we did a little performance of this and another song that we had. Where we just kind of sang tunelessly about Freddy.
Okay, I was gonna say performance.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
What kind of performance are you doing, bud?
Three third graders mm-hmm. you know, standing in the yard acapellaing about Freddy. I really wish I remembered more of that stuff,
because uh-huh.
it's, you know,
yeah,
it's pretty dumb, but Freddy made a big impression on me as a kid.
Oh yeah, it's a it's a powerful concept.
We didn't have the Wolverine claws. Mm-hmm. It's just cool.
My my first exposure to Freddy was the Treehouse of Horror episode where Willie gets turned into him.
Willie.
That's a good episode,
really,
man.
Good. Handle a dead tongue. Handle a live one. Yeah. They do a really good job with the Freddy Krueger banter
mm-hmm.
in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah.
How tragic is it that Treehouse of Horror went from scary concepts to parodying scary movies to parodying anything?
It's pretty bad.
Like me and Emma have been watching a bunch of Treehouse of Horror last month.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd seen all of them, but there's maybe seven of them I haven't watched yet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them just has Homer and Marge as Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And I'm like, where's the horror? Where is the treehouse? Like just the idea of them being spies.
Who remembers Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yeah. This won't age well, folks.
No.
You know, and like if they want to do movie parodies, they do that kind of stuff just normally.
Right.
Like you got the Surfsons and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like you just want to do a movie parody. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But don't put them in Treehouse of Horror, where at the very least there needs to be like a patina of the macabre.
Yeah.
you know?
And it's not like there aren't like modern horror movies they could do.
Tons. Yeah. You know, I don't think there's a Simpsons Babadook.
Is there a
Babadook was?
Forget that. Like, is there a Simpsons Saw?
Yeah. Give me a Simpsons Midsummer. Give me a Simpsons Hereditary.
Yeah. Give me a Simpsons Lighthouse. You know? Like, just put Milhouse in the sea captain.
Just, perfect. Just the sea captain naked, shining his dong on Milhouse, and then Milhouse walking the sea captain around like a dog. Burying him alive.
It'd be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could just be like, literally be the same plot.
Yeah, just incredible at feature length.
Uh-huh.
It's like 2 hours and 10 minutes or whatever. Like that Bart Kira thing, but
yeah, sorry,
the Millhouse.
The Millhouse,
same font and everything.
Yeah. Oh, if this was a steak, I'd fuck it.
Bart, I'd fuck it. Bart, if it was a steak, I'd fuck it.
Oh, I just spill your beans.
He pretended to some kind of grub. Your farts, Bart. I don't know why I had to add Bart to make it a Milhouse impersonation.
No, what you do, you do the lead up. You like you pretend you say Bart, and then you say the rest of the line. Your farts. Yeah.
Yeah,
you sub-vocalize the Captain?
Part. Yeah, yeah. It's a good idea, man. The Millhouse. Hire us, Fox. What if we get hired as Simpsons writers, and then like immediately all of the like 50-year-olds from Yale just shat on us and killed us?
Oh, yeah.
And killed us. I mean, kicked us out. But I guess.
You think other fat fucks in their 30s haven't tried?
I don't know why I immediately went to like fucking John Swartzwelder curve stopping me, but like
oh god damn.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of Nightmare on Elm Street. There's not very much in the way of game facts. There's a billion reviews, but yeah. You know, so many so that I didn't read them all.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty split. There's some in the middle, but it's like, yeah, this is better than you expect. And then people leaning into the AVGN stuff.
Yeah.
I
like Ace Ultra Gamer, who has the title of the review. You know it's a good game when you have to collect cups of coffee and fight weird Freddy Krueger spiders.
Yeah.
And that's the title. I think that is a weird title.
Yeah. You know, it's a game where you're a rookie lawyer who is going around solving murders.
Like, yeah. honestly, yeah. I mean, you really, honestly, you know, it's a good game when you're a detective,
yeah.
An alcoholic detective solving one specific murder.
Yeah.
There's also, we didn't mention it just so somebody doesn't like pop on the Patreon and be like, I can't believe you didn't mention this. Mm-hmm. This is a 4-player game.
Yeah. For the few, four score.
And yes. Yeah. The 4 score.
Mm-hmm.
I never did that, but, you know, that's a cool idea.
Was it four players at once? I've never seen video of it, so
let's look.
Yeah,
let's see what happens if I put
you do that. While you're looking that up, so the versus character wiki or versus battle wiki, mm-hmm. puts both Beetlejuice and Freddy Krueger at tier 9B, which is superhuman. Okay. Superhuman wall level. So they're as tough as
equal.
They are as tough as a wall.
Okay.
Yeah, but then
it is simultaneous. And when somebody dies, they become a little angel, and their life comes back.
Oh, cool.
So it's pretty fascinating. It looks like New Super Mario Brothers or something,
mm-hmm.
where like everyone's identical. Everyone's just wearing different like jumpers, like leotards in this. Pretty fascinating.
Yes. I want to also point out on the versus battles wiki, there are under Freddy, there are notable victories and notable losses. the notable victory would, which is it's just an anime that I don't know. All of these are in the dream world and speed equalized. But Freddy has lost to death. The concept of death from folklore, has lost to Slenderman. Cool. Has lost to Wolverine. Note that 9A Freddy was used, speed was equalized, and both were bloodlusted. So apparently that is a status effect that you can use in this fucking intolerable play by post. It's literally a play by post game. It's just a play by post game that they do. Fuck. But the ones I wanted to get to, god damn it, Chris. All right. I'll call you back later. No, but the one I wanted to get to, so it lost to Pennywise, but like only because speed was equal and both were in 9A forms. So it's Pennywise against the clown form, and then lost to Randall Flagg. They were both in the dream world and speed was equalized.
Well, as long as speed is equalized, that's the main thing that I want to know.
I understand. Like, I want Randall Flagg to win, but that just seems dumb to me.
Yeah,
it seems dumb to fight them like that. Literally, I'll send you a link to this. It's just play by post. Maybe it's
because Randall Flagg is not into kids.
You know what? I think so. I think
that's why they fought.
Randall Flagg has a
man of principles.
Yeah, I mean, like when he runs Las Vegas, like it's a real tight ship. Yeah,
18 and up. Randall Flagg's Vegas. he cleaned it up like Giuliani.
He's a real hard ass, you know. Yeah. he did clean it up like Giuliani. It was hell on earth. Actually, it was a fascist nightmare. Randall Flagg ran. Yeah,
this is a really annoying website.
That's why you keep coming back to it.
It is fascinating, but yeah, it's really annoying.
Yeah,
it's like TV tropes. It's like the worst of TV tropes with none of the good.
Yes, well, you know, but like just the fact that it's a notable losses, notable victories. Yeah.
This doesn't. The person who came up with this name is Promenstein. I like a Promenstein. That sounds like a Venture Brothers thing.
Oh, like a Frankenstein made of prom.
Yeah, or a prom for Frankensteins.
Ooh, ooh,
or a machine for pigs. Yeah. Yep. Enough of this.
Enough of this. Thank you for submitting this, Joshua and Warren. I liked playing this game and realizing it's good.
Yeah, it's fun. Mm-hmm. It is a fun game. This episode was all over the place, which I like those episodes that do everything.
Weird energy. We've been recording for a while.
Yeah, I like it, though. You can, you're already support us if you're hearing this. So we appreciate you.
Yep.
And, we'll see you next time. What can they do until next time, Cole?
Well, until next time, as our friend Pedantic Killjoy on Twitter says, Danzig knows where you live.